Please take your Bibles. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 22. Chapter 5, verse 22. Do you know what today is on your calendar? June 5th. There are a lot of events that took place today throughout history. But this morning, I'd like to look at one particular event that happened many, many years ago. We're still talking about it today. It was an amazing military victory that was pulled off by Israel. It was the Sixth Day War. It started on June 5th, and by the weekend, it was all over. And Israel had done an amazing job of defeating a coalition of forces that had gathered up around her. Israel went on the defensive. And the offensive, and surprised the enemy and won the victory. It's amazing to look back at that history and how fast the conflict started, how fast it ended. And it seemed to be that peace came by the time all of the dust settled, the war, the fighting was over so quickly. What's amazing about the Six-Day War is when you consider the number of coalition forces versus the number of Israeli forces. I'm going to point this out to you. 264,000 troops were available for Israel to use in this war. The coalition of nations surrounding Israel had 567,000 soldiers and troops that were ready for battle. During the actual Six-Day War, Israel only used about 100,000 forces, and the enemy had called upon 240,000 troops during the middle of that conflict. Amazing! The small underdog is the one who won the victory. The 100,000 to 240,000, that's twice as many. In the instance of the Six-Day War, Israel lost about 1,000 troops, and the Arab coalition forces lost about 20,000 troops. There's some controversy as to who started the fight, but on June 5th, Israel flew into Egypt and leveled Egyptian airspace, and the war in the air was pretty much won that moment, that day, by Israel. Israel was able to capture a whole lot of landmass in that short amount of time. I've got up here a picture. There's an arrow pointing to where Israel's occupied territory would typically be. And then you see represented there on the color map there how much land Israel was able to conquer in just 6 days. The fighting ended when people started laying down their weapons. I'd like to talk this morning really quickly, explain the difference between how these fights and how these conflicts come to an end. It's when two parties sign a peace treaty. The fighting will stop. The war is over. It's different than an armistice. An armistice is when we say we're not going to fight anymore. We'll still be at war, we just won't fight. Surrender is when one side says, you know what, we've been defeated and we give up. We can't fight anymore. We can't move on. You win. There's a victor declared. A ceasefire is when two sides just say, hey, we're going to stop the fighting temporarily. And when that Six-Day War came to an end, it would still mean a lot is at stake for Israel in that region. Peace isn't something that we think about when we think about Middle East peace. There's still conflict in that region, and there's going to be conflict in that region until Jesus comes back. I want to speak to your hearts this morning, though, about the Six-Day War that you and I face each and every week. It's that struggle that we have day in and day out, when sometimes it seems we're on the offensive, where we march out, as Billy Sunday would often say, he could charge the gates of hell with a squirt gun. And sometimes it seems to be that life overwhelms us and sets us back. And whether we're up or we're down, as followers of Jesus, we have inner peace that manifests itself as outer peace. When you and I realize who we are in Christ, who He is in this world, and what He's called us to bring, to this world. When we look and consider the peace that Jesus brings, we realize that the fight is over for good. Now, you say, how in the world am I supposed to fight a 6-day war for the next few days, knowing that the fight is over for good? That's the peace that we want to talk about this morning. How it is that you and I march out to fight that battle in a war that's already been won. That you and I realize, in that peace that comes over our hearts and our lives, that the fight is over for good. So we look this morning at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. We look at the fruits of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When you and I, as followers of Jesus, put our faith and trust in Him, Jesus takes our old life, our old sin nature, and He's crucified our sins. They've gone to the cross with Him. And He gives us a new heart, a clean heart. And with our new heart and our new life, there is a new pattern of behavior that follows. The things that we used to do, we don't do them anymore because we have a new master. We have a new Lord. We have a Savior in our life. And we are free to live the life that God has designed us for. And this new life in Christ is where our satisfaction, our joy, our hope, our peace is found. And that you and I, as believers, I think it's important to say this, and I'll say it many, many times throughout this series, that when we consider the fruits of the Spirit, it's not that you get a fruit, but you get the fruits of the Spirit when God is at work and in charge of our lives. Today, our point is this: peace lasts in the heart that sees victory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask Him to bless our time together in the Word of God. Lord Jesus, we come to You and we thank You so much for the peace that You bring. Lord, I thank You so much for that conflict that You ended, the war that existed, that we participated in as sinners. You decisively won that victory. Lord, we look to the empty tomb as proof of our risen Savior who defeated and conquered sin once and for all. Lord, sometimes we fall back into those old ways and we rely upon our old tactics. And I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, that Your Holy Spirit would set our hearts free and that we may experience peace regardless of the circumstance, whether we're up or we're down, that Your peace would carry us moment by moment. And Lord, would Your Holy Spirit speak to us through Your words in these next few moments? We ask these things in Your name. Amen. When we consider the peace that we have in Christ, it is a peace that is on the inside. The word peace that Paul uses in Galatians chapter 5 is a word that has to do with experiencing a state of tranquility. It's when there's a peace between individuals. There's a certain security that comes along with that, safety, prosperity. It just seems to be that even though storms may be raging around us, you and I can find that center of the hurricane and stay in the center of that hurricane where there is no peace. That's so amazing to consider what you and I have on the inside. A peace that the world doesn't take away, that's given only by Jesus. And that peace comes to our hearts, and that peace comes because it is the fact that the war is now over between me and God. Before you trusted Christ as your Savior, before you knew Him as the Lord of your life, you were led by sin. You had sin as your master, and that old sin, selfish nature that you and I lived and enjoyed, it was at war with God. But the peace that comes to our life in our new standing in Christ comes from the fact that we lay down our weapons and we say, Lord, the war is over. You are the master. Paul says this in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus that brings peace to our hearts and to our lives. He's the one who makes us clean, who sets us free and saves us. Jesus brings us peace, and the war is now over between us and God. In this aspect, we come to him and we say, Lord, please take my sin, my pride, my selfishness. I give it all over to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be the master of my life. He takes our sin. He takes all of our iniquity. It was placed on Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And he gives us this new heart, this new pattern of behavior, this new life in him. And that you and I now have peace in our hearts. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us and lead us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 19 through 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You and I have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And when the storms of life rage around us, when the problems seem to overwhelm us, we are not alone because the Spirit of God dwells with us. Sometimes peace is the absence of feeling all, it comes in the absence where we feel all alone, where we focus on the storm. Much like when Peter was walking on the water and began to sink when he took his eyes off of Jesus. What a wonderful picture it is to us, is how you and I become engrossed in the storm, overwhelmed by the storm, simply by taking our eyes off of Jesus. We've got that Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, ministering. It's his temple. And we realize also that in Christ, we have a new master that is greater than all other. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 10, Isaiah writes, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Peace comes when you and I see that it is God who sovereignly holds the victory. Our world can be crumbling and falling apart all around us. And if you and I take our eyes and our focus off of the Savior, we begin to focus on the circumstances or the little moments of life that begin to erode that peace that dwells within us. But when you and I look to the proof that the Lord is so much greater and bigger than all, that he's in charge, this is not the end. He's got a plan, and he's working to bring forth that plan, and that our security, our prosperity, our peace is built in the one who holds it all. When you feel all alone, when you think you're all alone, you've probably forgotten that God's got this all in his hand. And I say this morning, when we consider the sovereignty of God, it gives us a place of resting where we can think, Lord, it's falling apart around me, but I know that you got this. And it's going to bring peace to my heart. That regardless of my status, regardless of my station, where I find myself or how much pain I find myself in today, I know, God, that this is not the end of the story. For your scriptures are so clear. Your words are so clear to us that there is so much more in store and waiting ahead. And then we see also that the peace that Jesus gives reorders our everyday life. Jesus speaking in John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus speaking words of peace to our hearts, to the hearts of his disciples in that day and in this day. And when you and I are overwhelmed by the storms of life, let's take comfort in knowing that we're not alone, that we're not forgotten, and that Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit to minister and to speak to that fact, that his peace is unlike the peace that this world can give. It's the peace that only he can give. For the peace that the world could give at best would only be temporary. But the peace that Jesus brings is eternal. Which peace do you want this morning? A peace that lasts for just a little while, just to get you through the next moment, or the peace that will carry you on for eternity? That's the scope and the power and the magnitude of the peace of God, who's sovereignly in charge and in control, who's got all of this in his hand. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly where I'm at. And he knows exactly what we need. So when we do feel all alone and we do feel all overwhelmed, we can silence that trouble in our heart by remembering the words of Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You and I can have a supernatural experience in the midst of our storms by taking our eyes off of the storm and putting them back on Jesus. And when we do, we realize that our world doesn't have to be tranquil in order for us to experience this peace. I know a lot of times we think about peace in terms of just riding and just sitting in total silence. How that would be wonderful to be in a world where there was no conflict and there was no fighting. I certainly do pray that this week, that we have a week that knows no conflict. But I know that's not the case. I know that this week there is probably going to be moments and events that overwhelm us and have an opportunity to try to munch away or to take away forcefully that peace that lives in our heart. But my peace isn't built upon the harmony in this world, but rather built upon the relationship that I have in Christ. And that's why, as believers and followers of Jesus, we do not have to have a day without conflict to know peace, because it's a person who dwells in our hearts and our lives, and his name is Jesus. Romans 8:28, so familiar. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And the peace that we have in Christ doesn't necessarily mean for us that every moment of our lives we would say is good or free from pain or free from hardship or free from difficulty. But we understand that God is at work and in charge and in control. And we cannot see what he sees. There's something to be said about his peace in our heart that realigns or refocuses our perspective. And it is God's sovereignty and God at work that realigns, that refocuses our peace perspective. That's why we can say that all things work together for good. Not necessarily that every moment is sweet and blissful and wonderful, because we've all experienced life's difficult moments. But we do not experience them alone in Christ. And his peace can carry us in that moment and does carry us in that moment. When we step back and say, Lord, you've got this. And I may not understand what's going on, but I know that you do. And I know that you're fighting in this plan. And I'm going to rest in your promises. And the peace that comes from a healthy perspective that God's got this. Fighting is over, even though we may be in the midst of the fight. Amazing to think about the promises of God. The promises that his word bring to our heart, that bring peace on the inside. It's that Jesus is in my life. I'm not who I once was because I serve a new master. And when you and I stay aligned with that, the peace and comfort that he brings to our hearts certainly does overwhelm the world at seeing a believer experience peace in crisis. Inside, the inner peace that you and I have as believers. Well, now I'd like to take a minute and talk about the peace that you and I as believers experience on the outside in the world around us. And this morning, I want to call the words of Jesus to remind you that you and I need to be the ones who take the peace option. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I see there's a condition there. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And when I'm trying to do things in my own strength, I know I have a pretty good mouth and a pretty good way of mucking up my relationships. But when I'm resting on Christ and trusting in Christ, who is in me, I find that I've got a new mission and a new opportunity to live peaceably with all men. And it all comes down to this. Either I am a peacekeeper or a peace breaker. Which would you define yourself as this morning? A peacekeeper or a peace breaker? And I know a lot of times when we think about the word peace, we think about it as pacifist, one who doesn't believe in conflict. You and I as believers have seen in this life there is plenty of conflict. We do not need to do our part to add to any more conflict or division or strife in this world. The world does a great job. Sin does a fantastic job of wreaking havoc in this world. That's why you and I need to evaluate whether we are a peacekeeper or a peace breaker. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." When Jesus is on the inside, peace is on the inside. When we consider about our actions between our family members, brothers and sisters in Christ, our neighbors, you and I have an opportunity to be a peacemaker or a peacebreaker. And that's by two things that we do, our actions with what we say and our actions with what we do. Being a peacemaker is someone who will hold your tongue in a moment, in an instance, when it doesn't add anything to the fight, when it doesn't really matter. Learning to hold your tongue really does keep the peace. It's funny because you think about peace and silence and tranquility. Have you ever noticed how oftentimes when someone is talking, or the war escalates so much more when someone is speaking very assertively or very aggressively or very violently, when someone says something ugly to you, it seems to be that all of your peace can be dashed. And you and I likewise have the power and the ability in this little instrument in our mouth to end the peace by what we say. This is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And when you and I, as believers, realize the charge that Paul is calling here to the church at Philippi: do all things without murmurings and grumblings, disputings. That's the tongue. That's the complaints that come out of this little member here that has the ability to eliminate peace, not just in your life, but in the life of another person. You hear something really juicy, really something overwhelmed, or maybe you've got something that you just need to unload on somebody. Your tongue is a terrible instrument of war. And in this six-day war that you and I fight over these next few days, we need to remember the power that exists in our tongue to speak peace into people's life or to break peace in people's lives. And it comes down to this. We can win the battle with our words, but lose the war with our testimony. Sometimes I get overwhelmed when I'm talking with another brother or sister in Christ. They have nothing good to say. It is just murmuring and complaining and grumbling. And this is a person who's been set free from the power of sin in their life, so to speak. Someone who identifies that Jesus is their Lord, that Jesus has got all of this and he's in control and he's in charge, and all they can focus on is how bad and how terrible and how unfair the circumstances are. And the things that we talk about, complaining endlessly, murmuring endlessly, and then we wrap it up with a nice bow, but God's got all this. Our words begin to lose the weight when what we say is not matched with how we live or how we act to carry out our actions in our daily life. Because what I say reveals so much about my God. And when you and I spend all of our time in murmuring and dispute, complaining, trying to wage a war with our tongue, let's the listener know, our God's not really that big. Our God's not really that great. Because our focus seems to be more on the offenses or the injustices to us than rather the magnitude, the glory of our God. So I'm going to try to tell you this. Here's how you diffuse that bomb in your mouth behind your teeth. Start talking about the glory of God. Start talking about the magnitude of our Heavenly Father, his power in your life. Because what we say reveals a whole lot about our God. It's what we use to tell others about Jesus. And when we're endlessly complaining or endlessly murmuring, disputing, we are not sharing the message or the love of Christ. We're sharing the reality of our problems and our difficulties. Now, I know that we use our tongue to communicate our difficulties, and we ask one another to pray for one another in the midst of hardships. And that certainly does bring peace to my life to know that I've got brothers and sisters who are praying for me in Christ. But when that is all that we focus on, or that all that we talk about, it says a whole lot more about our worldview, that we look at this world from our perspective and we're not seeing it from God's perspective, who says that he can take all things and work it together for good. James 3, verse 16 through 18. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I realize from the scriptures that you and I have the ability to rob someone of their peace by what we say. But it doesn't just stop with what we say. What we do also reveals so much about our relationship with God. So I'm going to give you a task. As you and I begin to share and to communicate in these next 6 days of this war ahead, remember, the things that we talk about really do say a lot about our God. And how we respond moment by moment really does reveal a lot about our relationship with God. In a world filled with conflict and division and strife, a believer who lives without peace in their life is a believer who's apart from God, who doesn't see God at work or in control or in charge of their life. As a believer in Jesus, you and I say a whole lot about our God with our tongue. And we say so much about our relationship to Him through our life and through our actions. And today, the fighting on that front can end by simply coming to Christ and saying, Lord, far too long I have murmured and I have complained and I have held on to so much, and I need to realign my focus. Remember who it is that I'm fighting for and who I'm fighting against. Yes, Lord, it is me against the world. But Lord, you've got this. This battle may get the best of me in this moment. I may not come out on top, and it may not be easy for me, but the war is not over nor lost. For Lord God, you are in control. And you can take even this moment of difficulty and hardship in my life, and you can transform it by your glory into something good and beautiful, even though I may not see the full picture from your perspective. So what I do reveals much about my relationship with God as a peacemaker rather than a peace breaker. The point I'm trying to make right here is that my world does not have to be free from conflict for my heart to be at peace in Christ. And I think that's empowering to go out into battle. I'm overwhelmed when I consider the stories of soldiers who will march into the front line in the middle of a battle when it just seems to be overwhelming. When you consider the different types of warfare that this world has devised, the strategy that has been employed, how there are troops that have to run out into the front lines of battle. And to me, not in the middle of that battle, when I look from an outside perspective, I think that's crazy. You may not make it. You're going to be overwhelmed. But the soldier who's following command and following orders marches into that victory. And it's only through that offensive, by going and taking the ground that the world has tried to take in from you, that you and I experience the fullness of the peace in Christ. Peace isn't just sitting on the sidelines and saying, Lord, I give up. It's going into the battle, fighting in the battle, under His control, under His leadership, knowing that He's got this. May not necessarily be easy for me, but I'm at peace with knowing that I'm at peace with Him. Our response this morning is this: peace lasts in the heart that sees victory. That's the point of our message this morning. If you see the Lord Jesus in your heart and in your life at work, the peace that He brings to our hearts and to our life lets us experience victory even in moments of difficulty. You got a problem with discouragement this morning? No, you got a problem with peace. You got a problem this morning with attitude or anxiety? Jesus can speak peace to your heart and to your life through bringing surrender and control to His feet and saying, Lord, I've messed this up. Please take it and bring peace. Wherever we're at this morning, whatever you and I find ourselves up against in these next few days, as we enter into this 6-day war, please remember that the peace that stays with us is a peace that yields. Because a peace that gives up and says, Lord, that's it, I'm over, I'm done, I'm ready to start hurling bombs. Because everyone's been so mean and so ugly to me, I'm going to give back a little bit of that. When Jesus says, bring peace, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Lord, I need to remember who I am in this fight and who you are. Yes, this is my fight. But I give my fight to you. And I say, Lord, lead me in paths of righteousness. Lord, lead me to that place of surrender so that I can enjoy that place of peace. For as long as there is conflict in our hearts, there will not be peace in our hearts. And the way for believers to experience peace is to say, Lord, that thing that I'm holding on to, that conflict that I refuse to let go of, I give it up to you now. What we say, what we do, speaks to who he is and where we stand in him. And remember that peace stays fresh in a serving heart. The next time someone says something ugly to you, you have an opportunity to fight back, or you have an opportunity to share Christ by being a peacemaker rather than a peace breaker. Now, that person's already decided where they're at in the fight. You get to decide as well. Lord, whose side am I going to be on? I want to be on your side. So use my words, use my life to bring peace to another. We can temper the way we say words. Sometimes when we are in a place of pain, and I'll tell you this morning, I'm in a place of pain right now. I've got a real sharp pain in my back right now. And it's been really hard not to remember as I move around up here a little bit, I will catch that nerve and oh, it will hurt. And sometimes when you and I speak from a place of pain, our words don't come out so sweet. Rather, they come out really aggressive, really hateful. But remembering who we are in Christ and what is on the line, you and I can be peacemakers by remembering not just what we say, but how we say it. Not but how we're supposed to live, but how we actually live. The Lord can use us to bring peace to someone else's life. By following the advice of Paul, the teaching of Paul, do all things without murmuring or disputing. Before you say that, hold your tongue. Keep the peace, literally. Don't spread the fire. Don't spread the tension. Don't spread the conflict. Better yet, give it over to God. Because peace is best shared. It is so wonderful to be in a room this morning looking at faces and lives of people who don't have it easy, who haven't had easy moments, but to see the peace of God in your life is expressed by what you talk about and how you talk about his wonder and his glory. Sometimes it defies all logic, that peace of God that passes all understanding. When you and I together, stand together, the peace of Christ, we're greater in power to go out and be lights in this world, to spread the message of hope and joy of Jesus than the message of sin and ugliness and conflict. This is this world loves to hear. This morning, this is our prayer. Lord, keep me grounded in your peace. Let's all stand this time as we go to him in prayer. Miss Patsy's coming at this time to play on the piano. And I invite you, these next few moments, in the peace of these next few moments, to pray for the peace to rule in our hearts over these next 6 days so that we do return. We see the peace treaty has been signed by God himself, and that you and I have laid down our weapons and that we have ended this war. And I know it's a treaty that you and I have to work on moment by moment, because we sometimes want to take back up our arms and go back to war. But pray for the Lord to give you victory, to give you peace in the days ahead.